Well, welcome to church on this Easter Sunday morning. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young, and with me today are our musicians, Sam on the keyboard, Rosemary and David, our singers, and helping in the service, Diane reading the scriptures and Karen leading us in prayer. During the service of the Lord's Supper will be celebrated by me with those gathered with me. You are encouraged at home listening in to either feed on Christ in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving, or if you have prepared already, to partake of a piece of bread and wine or grape juice in like manner. Well, we begin with listening into the word of God again, and to those who went to the tomb of Jesus on that third day after he had died, and we listen in and witness what they saw and heard.
This Bible reading comes from John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of the linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Jesus Christ is risen today.
Thank you.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets are hung on these two commandments. Lord, have mercy on us and write your commandments in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Oh, Almighty God, you have conquered death through your dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and you've opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant us by your grace to set our mind on things above, so that by your continual help, our whole life may be transformed through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit in everlasting glory. Amen. Please stand with me and let's say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and open up your Bibles to John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. You should have a little sermon outline inside your bulletins with a Bible study question on the back. I hope you're finding those helpful over this Easter time. Let's turn to the scriptures, to the reading that we just heard Diane read to us. Well, what good news it is, isn't it? That Christ is risen, and he has risen indeed. He's now ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And as we've said, from there he will come to judge one day the living and the dead. And we also believe that having been raised from death and ascended to the Father, Jesus has given to the church his Holy Spirit. And we believe him too, as we do the Father and the Son, so that in the life of God's family, the church, we experience a common union together through the forgiveness of our sins. And not only that, we as Christians believe in the resurrection of our own bodies, like Christ's, at his return to everlasting life with him forever. Oh, what good news it is, and we need some good news, don't we? We need some words of hope. We need words of comfort this Easter. And we have them today. And we who are Christians have that comfort every day. Isn't God good? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And we believe it to be true. What is the basis of your belief? In fact, belief in anything, really. Is it seeing? They say seeing is believing. But what if you're blind? Then it's needing to touch, to feel, to hear, to smell, to taste. Is it needing to hold on to things that help us to remember, to not forget? They say that's why we cherish photos and some people hoard things. But what if they are taken away from us? Do we still believe in them? We can't see them. We can't touch them. We can't hold on to them. And there may be a time even when we doubt if we really saw them in the first place. Did we ever have them to hold on to? What is the basis of your belief? And when it comes to God, what is your basis for belief in Him? In the resurrection of Christ, for instance. Is it needing to see Jesus? To see Jesus alive for yourself, physically, standing there before you, is that what you need? Some people say that's the only persuasion they will hold on to believe. Is that how you're thinking this morning? Maybe that is you today. Those of us listening in as Christians, we too may be tempted to have that same need. Would you like to see Jesus or think you need to see Him so to give you that extra certainty to your belief, your faith? Would you like to have Him physically present with you all the time? Are you afraid, brother or sister, of those times when you just don't think God is with you? That if He stayed with you in some way physically and you saw Him all that time, that fear would never be? Are you secretly one of those Christians who wish they were there at the resurrection? That you believe in the testimony of those that you who did is not enough. You'd like to be there yourself to see. What is the basis of your belief? It's an important and necessary question to ask because it will shape the way you live. What was the basis of belief of those who were, who believed in God and were there at the resurrection of Jesus? Think back now, or look there in the scriptures there with you, to the Bible reading we heard earlier from Diane. Even though they had been told by Jesus that He must die and on the third day rise from the dead, seeing the empty tomb at first, don't you think it a little strange that both Mary Magdalene and the two disciples, one of which was the writer of what was read, was not enough to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead? Mary thought someone had moved the body, and the two disciples at first believed the same. Look there at verse 8. When the two disciples returned home that same day, we read there that Mary Magdalene is found staying behind, worrying, crying, and I gather very, very upset. Jesus appeared to her. She recognized Him, and she was overwhelmed with joy, and she held on to Him. I think we can understand what she did. She saw Him alive. She knew He was alive, and she was relieved to have Him back, and she didn't want to lose Him again. She saw, she knew, she was relieved, and she was overwhelmed with joy, and she was afraid. She was afraid of not having Him around, and so she held on to Him. We can understand why Mary did that. But look what Jesus said. Do not hold on to Me, for I have yet to ascend to the Father. Why say, don't hold on to Me? And why bring up the ascension? What did the ascension have to do with not holding on to Him? The ascension, for those who may not understand what we're talking about here, was Christ's triumphant return to God the Father and His enthroned intercession in heaven on our behalf. It's an event that takes place 40 days after this Resurrection Sunday. So why say, don't hold on to Me, and why bring up the ascension? Sounds mean at least, confusing at most. Was Jesus saying, come on, Mary, stiff up a lip, My time is up here. I have to go to where I came from. You have to learn to get over it. I have to leave. Yes, but he had to leave, but not in that mean tone, by no means. He was telling Mary, Mary, you don't need to hold on to me. I'm going away physically, but I will be with you equally spiritually. Really, Mary, it would be as having me here with you. You don't need to hold on to me to believe. I'm not going away. When I ascend, as I promised, I will come in my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into all truth, and he'll open the Scriptures, the Word of God, to you as if I am there and will be there, so that you may believe. As he had told his disciples prior, Jesus had said this. You can look back there in chapters 13 to 17 of John's Gospel. So why say don't hold on to me? And why bring up the ascension? Jesus is saying to Mary, you don't need to hold on to me. I'm really not leaving. I'm ascending to the Father, so to be with you forever by Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we who are Christians have Jesus with us by his Spirit, equally as Mary would. We have no need to feel we need to hold on to Jesus to believe. Jesus himself will use the Scriptures. He will use his Word to enable us to believe. And that, in fact, is what the Apostle John, the disciple who witnessed the empty tomb with Peter, agreed and made sure that he wrote it in there in verse 9. Look there. At that time, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Friend, what is the basis of your belief in God? In the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's comforting to know that even though at times we may feel we need to see in order to believe, that we would need to touch, smell, or hold on to God. We don't need to. He is very much with us now in spirit as he was in body. And Jesus in spirit draws our attention to his word written, so to believe, as Jesus in body drew those who saw him to his word spoken. In the opening verses of the book of Hebrews, we read, in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets in many various ways and at various times. But in these last days, he has spoken to us once and for all by his Son. Hebrews 1 and 2. What good news it is that Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. That he is now ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, that from there he will come one day to judge the living and the dead. And that we can believe that having been raised from death and ascended to the Father, Jesus has given to the church his Holy Spirit, his very presence, that we may believe him too, as we do the Father and the Son. So that in the life of God's family, the church, we experience a common union together in Christ with him, through the forgiveness of our sins. And if you do not know Jesus, we invite you to know Jesus with us, to open the Scriptures and pray that God will guide you by his Spirit into belief in him. For one day we look forward to our own resurrection of our bodies at the coming of Christ again, that we may be like his and live with him in everlasting life forever. Oh, what good news this is. Words of hope, words of comfort this Easter. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Well, let's sing once more. Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid.
Sin of man and wrath of God.
once again, thank you for joining us for this Easter Sunday service. Again, just reminding you that on the keyboard is with us is Sam this morning, and Diane read the scriptures to us, and Karen's very shortly going to read prayers for us. David and Rosemary are our singers this morning, and it's just so great to be together. We miss you, and we look forward to that day when we all come together again and are able to worship as one in Christ together. But even though you're listening in and we're listening in, we feel like we're very much there with you, and I'm sure you are too. Look, go to your bulletins, and inside your bulletins there's some news in there and details, and I won't waste some time now, but please read those. Thank you for keeping in contact with each other. Thank you for following people up and making sure that you're praying for each other. So please keep doing that for us there. So I'm going to invite Karen up now to read prayers with us. Thanks, Karen.
Gracious Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, has promised that you will hear us when we ask in faith. Receive the prayers we offer. We praise you, Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and give you thanks that in your great mercy you have given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We thank you for this time to remember the good news of the empty tomb and Jesus' victory over sin and death for our salvation. We praise you, Jesus, our risen Lord and Saviour. God of everlasting love, creator and sustainer of the world, you know of the struggle and strain, sickness and death that pervades our world at present as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Governments order lockdowns, rich countries pour resources into battling the invisible foe. This morning, we pray for countries whose health systems barely function at the best of times. Countries that cannot hope to provide salaries for those who suddenly cannot work, and for places where people live crowded together in refugee camps without adequate sanitation. In the midst of these circumstances, Lord, minority Christian groups live, despised and discriminated against. And this hatred towards them is now heightened, placing them at greater risk. Please, Heavenly Father, comfort, strengthen, and sustain the poor, marginalised, and persecuted believers across the globe. Provide them with all that they need, but most importantly, may they find comfort and hope in their risen Lord Jesus. Faithful Father, we pray for our own country in the midst of this pandemic, and we ask through your Son, our Saviour, for our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, and his government, for our Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, and for all who hold office in this land. Give them wisdom and wise counsel that they may lead our communities to respond to the present coronavirus crisis with calm and generosity. For those presently suffering with this sickness, grant them the victory of trust and hope in the bloody cross and the empty tomb of Christ, that they may never lose their faith in your loving purposes. For all who are working to discover the causes and cures of this disease, grant them your wisdom and the realisation that in you all things are possible. Heavenly Father, we pray for the welfare of your church here on earth as we undergo a period of great change in our experience and practice of church. We pray for our Archbishop Glenn Davies and our Regional Bishop Michael Stead as they lead your people in this city. Please guide and govern your church by your Holy Spirit, so that all who call themselves Christians may be led in the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace and in righteousness of life, regardless of the physical distance or separation between them. Especially we pray that your Spirit will continue to call people into faith and relationship with the risen Lord Jesus, that at this time your kingdom will continue to flourish. God of everlasting love, this morning we bring before you our sister in Christ, Lynn Clark, as she continues to recover in hospital from her recent surgery. Please strengthen and heal her and give those caring for her skill and insight as they plan her treatment. We pray also for Graham, her husband, that you might comfort him and give him your peace at this time. Merciful God, we commend to your fatherly goodness all who are afflicted or distressed in body, mind, or circumstances. Relieve them according to their needs, give them patience in their sufferings, and deliver them from all their afflictions. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the glory and power of your might revealed in his resurrection. Keep our eyes fixed on our risen Lord Jesus, that we may each live our lives worthy of your calling. By the work of your Spirit, may our love for each other and for everyone increase to overflowing, and may our hearts be strengthened as we await the day of our risen Lord Jesus Christ's return. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, we who come now to receive the Holy Communion of the body and blood of our Saviour Christ can come only because of his great love for us. For although we are completely undeserving of his love, yet in order to raise us from the darkness of death to everlasting life as God's sons and daughters, our Saviour Christ humbled himself to share our life and to die for us on the cross. In remembrance of his death, and as a pledge of his love, Jesus instituted this holy sacrament, which we are now to share. But those who would eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord must examine themselves and amend their lives. They must come with a repentant heart and a steadfast faith. Above all, they must give thanks to God for his love towards us in Christ Jesus. So you then who truly repent of your sins and are reconciled with others, intending to lead a new life of joyful obedience to God, draw near with faith and take or remember this holy sacrament to strengthen and sustain you. But first, let's make a humble confession of our sins to Almighty God together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, you made all things, and you call everyone to account. With shame we confess the sins we have committed against you, in thought, word, and deed. We rightly deserve your condemnation. We turn from our sins and are truly sorry for them. They are a burden we cannot bear. Have mercy on us, most merciful Father, for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us all that is past. Enable us to serve and please you in newness of life to your honour and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has promised to forgive the sins of all who turn to him with repentance and faith, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, strengthen you to do his will and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the words of assurance for those who truly turn to Christ from John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. He is worthy of all praise. Always and everywhere, it's right for us to praise you, Lord, Holy Father, mighty Creator and eternal God. Therefore, with all those gathered around your throne in heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name in words of never-ending praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory to you, Lord Most High. Let us pray. We do not presume to come to your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen. We thank you, our Father, that in your love and mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our salvation. By this offering of himself once and for all time, Jesus made a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world and commanded us to continue a remembrance of his precious death until his coming again. So hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we who receive these gifts of your creation, this bread and wine, according to our Saviour's command, in remembrance of his suffering and death, may be partakers of his body and blood, who on the night that he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the meal, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Come, let us eat and drink in remembrance that Christ died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are confident to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, thank you. Thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Thank you for assuring us of your goodness and love, and that we are members of his body and heirs through hope of your eternal kingdom. Together, keep us faithful to your Son and strengthen us by your Spirit to do the good works you have prepared for us to do for your honour and praise. Amen. Well, very shortly we're going to hear from the scriptures one more time again, but we're going to sing, See Him in Jerusalem, walking where the crowds are. Please stand with me as we sing this together.
Lift your voices to the world. There is a
Our closing Bible reading today is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
Well, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.